Tonight's shiur in Parshas Baloscha, sponsored by the Weinbach family, in Ili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Barav Chaim. The onset, beginning of the Sedra, Hashem speaks to Moshe, says the Baal Aaron, Vamartela, Baloscha, Saneros, Samu Pnei Amnora, Yivu Shiva Saneros. And then the next pasuk continues, V'yaskein Aaron amu pnei anora hel anirasech asher tziv Hashem es Moshe. So Hashem told Aaron to spoke to Moshe to tell Aaron to light the menorah, and he does so, as the pasuk relates, V'yaskein Aaron, he did what he was told. So Rashi says, V'yaskein Aaron lagid shivcho shel Aaron shaloshina. Here we're being told the praise of Aaron, that Loshina, he didn't change. He did what he was told to do, told to light the menorah, and that the menorah, exactly what he was told. So everybody asked the question, what's Rashi brings us to Sifri? What is the Sifri trying to tell us over here? That Aaron listened, no kidding. What he was going to say, no, I don't care, you tell me to light the, I'm not going to light the menorah. Of course he's going to do what he was told, right? That his shvach, what praise, Aaron listened to what he was told. Oh, the light the menorah, he lit the menorah. Of course he's going to like, what do you want him to do? He's going to say, no. I mean, and he deserves to be praised for it, the shivcha shel Aaron. So there's many, many, many answers to this question. One famous answer of the Sfasemes, imagine a boy, you know, just about to be bar mitzvah. You know, so he's knowing a couple of weeks for his bar mitzvah to put on his tefillin, or a month before, or whatever. And he's looking forward for that. Oh, I can't wait to put on my tefillin. And he's chalashing, and he says, oh, another, you know, 10 days. He's counting down, 9 days, 8 days, a week to go. And finally, you know, the night before, he's putting on his tefillin, and he's so excited, you know, he can hardly sleep that night. You know, I can't wait till the next morning. I guess I'll put on his tefillin for the first time with the bracha and everything, and he comes to shul. So he said, that's wonderful, you know, a lot of boys are like that. He says, but what's going to be if we look at the same boy half a year later? Is it the same thing? Oh, can't sleep all night because the more I'm putting on tefillin. No, the first time, maybe the second time. Yeah, but after a while, it's like, you know, the excitement wears off. That's the way, that's human nature. So too, that's what was liable to happen here with Aaron, you know, was lighting the menorah. And okay, lights it once, twice, and then the excitement's there the first time, but then it wears off. Comes along the Chazal and tell us, no, Aaron was Loshina. Meaning with the same excitement as he lit the menorah the first time, he lit it the second, third, fourth, fifth, the same excitement. Never wore off by him. Tremendous godless. That's one idea. Another idea, a cute idea from the Marl Diskin. He says that the menorah, we can imagine, how high was it? The menorah was 18 tefachim high. In fact, as the Baal HaTurim says, v'zeh ma'aseh menorah, v'zeh in gematria is 18. It was 18 tefachim high. So 18 tefachim high, you know, on an average person, it comes out about 1.60 meters. So let's say someone average height, it comes out about his chin or whatever, around there. So, okay, that's very comfortable height, you know, to light the menorah. You know, it comes up to your chin, so, you know, you're lighting it right across, right in front of you. It's very, you know, comfortable, etc. However, that wasn't the case. Why? Because in front of the menorah were steps. They had to put these three steps up to come up to the menorah. Now, how high were these three steps? It was an amma v'chetzi. An amma v'chetzi is 9 tefachim. So, make the cheshbon. The menorah is 18 tefachim. The steps are 9 tefachim. I mean, the steps came up halfway up the menorah. So somebody, again, standing on the ground lining menorah is very comfortable, we said, up to his chin. But if he's going to climb up these three steps, which just takes you up half the whole height of the menorah, comes out that the menorah is going to be like below your waist. Okay, and that's in your average person. Aaron, we're told, is very, very tall. He's a very, very, very tall individual. So if your average person has to bend down below his waist to light, and Aaron, he has to even bend down even lower, so comes along the Torah, Chazal, and tell us, Loshina. He did, even though it was very uncomfortable to do this, to light the menorah, he had to like bend down in order to light it, Loshina, he did exactly as he was told, even as uncomfortable as it was. the Marl Diskin. There's another pshat, which I'd like to share with you from the Bir Yosef, but before we say it out, let's give a little bit of introduction. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia, very famous Gemara, on Daf Nun Tes, the famous machloikis between the Chachamim and Rebbe Eliezer, legabe the Tanur Shel Achnai, where there was this certain Tanur, they're made out of pieces and sand or whatever, and there was a big machloikis whether this tanur is can mekabel tuma inside. If in other words, the sheretz is inside, does the tanur become tami or not? So Rabbi Lezer said it's not tami, it's tahor. Chachamim said it's tami. So that is big machloikis going, and Rabbi Lezer wanted to prove he was right, and he said to the Chachamim, listen, if I'm right, let this charuv mochiach, let this carob tree prove. So what happened? Miraculously, this carob tree uprooted itself and moved. So I was wow, astonished. So, no, Chachamim weren't impressed. Says, you can't bring rayas from carob trees. Says, okay, fine, I'll give another proof. See this amasamayim, you know, this canal of water? Said, if I'm right, let this canal of water proof. What happened? All of a sudden the water changed direction and started flowing backwards. Miracle. So they said, you can't bring rayas from water canals. So says, okay, so how about this? Next up his sleeve. He says, if I'm right, let the walls of the Beis HaMidrash prove it. All of a sudden the walls began to cave in. So till Rabbi Yeshua came and screamed at the walls, no, you can't do this. Fine, the walls, stayed. So again, they said, you can't bring proof from walls of Beis HaMidrash either. So he says, okay. So he pulls out, you know, the trump card, and he says, if I'm right, let Shemayim prove it. So all of a sudden, a bas kol came from Shemayim. And then Malachem Chachamim, what are you arguing with Rabbi Eliezer? The lacha is like him, Mechol Makom, you have to listen to Rabbi Eliezer. Exactly what he said. So he thought he had them, until Rabbi Yeshua came along and he said, famous words, Lo b'shamayim hi. He says, the Torah is not in Shemayim, you don't bring rayas from baskols even. Yeah, we have to go what it says. It says in the Torah, Acharei Rabim Lahatos, you go after the majority, Chachamim their majority, lacha is like them, finished. So, Rabbi Eliezer was, heard this. Chachamim then went along, and they therefore took all the taharas, everything that Rabbi Eliezer said was tahor, because he held the oven was tahor, all the taharas that were in the oven that he said were okay, and they burnt it. Rabbi Eliezer was not makabel. He says, I don't care, I'm still not makabel. And as a result, they put him into cherem, excommunicated. That's the Gemara. So the obvious question is asked, how could he not be makabel? I mean, they quoted at Pasuk, it says, Acharei Rabim Latos, you go after the majority, it says in the Torah. Not something, you know, they came up with himself. So how could he not agree with them? He doesn't know the Pasuk in the Torah. Didn't agree with them until they put him into, they excommunicated him. What's the possible shot? So there's a beautiful idea that Bergman said, and it's actually a Gemara Yushalmi, in fact, which is Meduyak and Rashi over here on the Gemara, that says, Rashi says that when they took the Taharas of Rebbe Eliezer, Rashi adds one word. It says, Ve'hevium v'sarfum lifanav. They took them, and they burnt it lifanav. Meaning, in his face, right in front of him, right? Meaning, this is what Rabbi Eliezer wasn't willing to makabel. He said, you've gone too far. It's one thing, okay, we have a disagreement. You say this, I say that. Okay, you might be right. You might be right. Okay, Rabbi Melantos, normally, fine. Huh? But you take the taharas that I said was tahor, according to me. One thing, you burn it, but in my face, lefanav, v'sarfum lefanav, you rub it in, said, you see, I'm going to prove to you. He goes, where's the menschlichkeit? Like, where's your derech eretz? So it's one, okay, you're right, you might be right, but you're rubbing it in, rubbing it in my face. See? Says, well, what's going on? So he said, Memele, he says, yeah, he knew the pasuk, Acharei Rabin Lahatos, but he held that pasuk is referring to Dayanim. You have to listen to Dayanim, go after the majority. He says, somebody that acts like that, he says, he's not a Dayan. He says, not a mensch. A Dayan has to be a mensch. So people that do that, he says, I don't have to listen to you. Yeah, Acharei Rabin Lahatos. People that act like with their inheritance, you have to listen to them, the Dayanim, you go after the majority. But the reason why I don't want to go after the majority is because of the way you acted. And as a result, that's why he wasn't Marzim Makawa from him. The Kutzker Rebbe used to say, so on the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, it says, Va'anshe Kodesh Tiyunli. Says, you want to be Kodesh? It's very nice. But Va'anshe Kodesh, you have to be a mensch, you have to be a ish. You want to be Kodesh, but before you're Kodesh, you have to be Anashim, Anshe Kodesh. You have to be a mensch before you're Kodesh. Very nice, you do all these great things and chumras but number one, Derech Eretz, as we say, Kadma LaTorah. First things first, you gotta act like a human being. It's a beautiful story told at the Taz, the David Siegel, the famous, parish in the Shulchan Aruch, as we know. So once he was cited, of course, in his greatness, that Klal Yisrael needed a kapara. So he took upon himself to be the kapara for Klal Yisrael. And he went into Gullus. As we know, they used to do in years past, the Gedolim, they used to, take off their rabbinisha clothes, dress like a simple pauper or whatever, and he used to go from town to town and get, embarrassed and misyonis and suffer and never poor people get kicked around or whatever, and all the embarrassment they suffer, that's supposed to be a kapara. So he felt that, again, Kleiso needed a kapara, so he took it upon himself to go into Gullus. He went into Gullus. In those days, it's not like today, with the media or whatever. You can't hide yourself, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, would go with the Gullus, you can go anywhere, be right away. Everyone knows what he looks like, he's a picture of him. Whereas in those days, nobody, people lived around his age and knew him, that's it. But if you didn't see him personally, you don't recognize him. Nobody knew how these people look. So he went from, place to place. In his luck, he happens to go to a certain town, and lo and behold, somebody there happened to be there. They didn't recognize him. They knew him. He says, "Hey, what's going on? The Taz, David Siegel, what are you doing here? I look at you, whatever." So he said, "Shh, keep it quiet. I'm in Gullus, okay? So he said, "Oh, okay, So he said, "Yeah, just do me a favor. Says, "Oh, but what can I do for you, Rebbe? So he says, "You can do me a favor. First, just keep it quiet. I'm keeping a low profile. And second of all, if you want to help me, if you can maybe find me some, source of parnas, like I'm on, which got nothing to eat, if I need to make a little bit of money, if you can find a job for me." So he said, "Fine, now." So he got him a job working in like the Beit HaMitbachayim, like the shechtois, where they shecht animals, whatever. So he got him a job there, being the menaker, was to take out the forbidden fats, the chalev and the sinews, whatever. So he's working there as the menaker. So what happens? He's in the shechtois, and of course he's was a bucket, halacha and everything. And every time, normally a shaila would come up, so they go to the rav, to the shaila. And all of a sudden, days, weeks go by, and the Rav says, "I usually get 5-10 shilas a day from the shechtois, and now I only have like one shila. What's going on?" So what happened? Because Rav Nataz was there, and somebody says, "Oh, we have a shila." You say, "Hey, what's the problem?" And he called him over, and he goes, "Oh," and he goes, "Oh, that's okay, or that isn't okay," and he was passing all the shilas over there, So of course, very low key, can you lead it, but he was passing all the shilas. So the Rav is getting very suspicious, and he says, "What's going on?" So he calls somebody in from there, and he says, "Very strange. It can't be. I always get many shilas from there, but not one shila." So he says, "Yeah, well, we got this new menachir." So he says, "Yeah." So he says, "Well, he's answering all the shilas." And he goes, "What? He's answering all the shilas? Menachir's answering the shilas? A chutzpah, who do you think he is?" He says, get him over here." So he called him in, and he says, "I understand you've been asked answering all the shilas and everything." He goes, "Yeah, whatever." What do you mean, whatever? He's out of chutzpah. How can you do such a thing, you know? Who are you anyways, you know? Nobody, you know. I'm the Rav here. I have to answer Shai. What are you answering Shailas? And who knows how many things you know, trafed up in this. And how can you do that? And he's all upset, screaming at the Taz. And he says, wait here in the side room. I have to think about what am I going to do with you, you know? So fine, so he waits in the room. So he's there for a while. All of a sudden, he hears some crying out in the hallway. So it's like a cries of a little girl, you know. So he goes out into the hallway and he sees this little girl holding a chicken, and she's crying. So he comes up to the girl. He says, "What's wrong, little girl?" So he says, "Well, I brought this chicken to the Rav, and he trafed. He said it was trafe. And we're from a very poor family of nothing. We finally saved up money. We got ourselves a little chicken, you know. And the Rav said it's trafe, and we won't be able to eat it, and whatever." So he goes, "Oh, yeah." He says, "Do you mind if I look at the chicken?" So he goes, "Yeah, sure. You know, I'm gonna have to throw it out anyways. You know, take it." So he takes the chicken. He looks at the problem, and he goes, "That's fine. It's kosher." So he says, "Huh?" He says, "But the Rav said it was trafe." So he said. He says to her, go back to the Rav and tell him to open up the Shulchan Aruch and Simon XY, whatever, and look at the Taz, Sif Katan Y, whatever, and over there in Shulchan Aruch. He talks about it, you know. So she goes, whatever, he goes back, and she says, look at the Taz, opens up, sure enough, he sees the Taz and says, it's kosher. He goes, "Wow, I didn't know it's Taz." He goes, "Wait a minute, who told you this?" "Well, the guy in the side room." He goes, "What side room?" Well, comes out and he goes, "Okay, what's going on over here? What was there?" Anyways, his cover was uncovered, and he had to admit who he was. He was a Taz, and that was the end of that. So, Rav Chaim Kanievsky asks, he says, "But what happened to, why did he do that? You know, why did he give up his cover? I mean, he wasn't there for fun. He was there to give for Klal Yisrael. It was a kapar for Klal Yisrael's out in Galus. Now that's it. He blew his cover. So why would he do that?" So he says, we see from here that the cries of a little girl are more important than all the kapar of Klal Yisrael or whatever, right? As we said, Anshei Kodesh Chilin. You have to be a mensch. Little girl's crying. If they have feelings for the kid, whatever. That's number one. I call you some kavu. Whatever it's going to be, kapara. Okay, but lemaisa, cries of a little girl. That's more important. That's seeing the importance of again between man and his fellow man, and the importance of acting like a mensch. But a person even himself has to be a mensch. He has to know how to not run after his taivas. He has to control himself, not just to be like an animal. Control yourself, act like a human being, without even, forget about other people, even with yourself. Saw very recently a maisa in Zimbabwe with Rav Aaron Cutler, that's all, that was in the year 1963, Limin Yonam. It was the end of the Chodesh Tishrei, and he was davening, and all of a sudden he collapsed. So they rushed him to the hospital, and the doctors checked him out, whatever, and they saw that Matzav was very serious. And after the various tests, the doctors ordered that he was not allowed to put anything in his mouth. No food, no drink, nothing. And he, of course, fed intravenously, but nothing at all in his mouth. Anything, not even a drop of water. It was also to put anything in his mouth, which was unbelievable yisurin, right? Because, you don't put anything in your mouth, your saliva dries up, and his mouth was totally dry, and to such a degree that his tongue and his mouth were so dry he couldn't even speak. It was hard for him to verbalize things because he was so dry. And he was chalishing, he used to put a little ice cube in his mouth, like anything, but the doctor said nothing to go in his mouth. So everybody felt so bad for him. You could see how he was suffering, his dry mouth or whatever. And they were trying to ask the doctors, please, something, a little candy, something, just to help, give him a little break. No, nothing. So they kept trying. One day there was a doctor who was like kind of new in the field a little bit, and he was there, and one of the Talmidim tried his luck and said, you know, maybe you can have something. So the doctor said, you can give him a candy on a stick, you know, like a lollipop, right? Give him a lollipop. She says, really? Oh, this Talmid was so happy. He took the lollipop, he ran to the Rebbe, to Rav Aaron, and he said, Rebbe, I got the yeshur, I got the okay, you know, you can suck on his lollipop. Which he thought, he'd be so thrilled. So it seemed like he had a big smile, and said, oh, wonderful, I'm so happy, oh, great, you know, finally. So he takes the lollipop in his hand, but he doesn't put it in his mouth. He's looking at it, he's thinking back and forth, so the Talmud's like, how much concentration do you need is to put a lollipop in your mouth, you know? He's thinking, he's looking, and he says, no, he says, I'm going to save it for Shabbos. It was Wednesday, okay? He says, I'm going to save it for Shabbos. Put it by his head pillow. He says, I'm saving it for Shabbos. He says, in the end, it didn't happen. The more, you know, older doctors came by, they saw this and said, hey, what's that candy doing there? They took it away from him, and that was it. And after that, he was nifter. So he never got to taste the candy. But we see from here, that's the godless of a, you know, imagine the tayu the, you know, person would have, finally the candy. No, Shabbos, I'm saving it for Shabbos. So that's controlling oneself, self-control. Therefore, back to the original question that we had, we said the praise of Aaron, you know, that he did what he was told, he lit the menorah, of course, what else was he going to do? So the Ber Yosef explains that the menorah was representative as Chazal tell us the Torah, right? The light of the Torah, that's the menorah. And we mentioned before the three steps. So he says the three steps up to the menorah represent basically this idea. That you want to be zoich in the Torah, that's very nice. But before you come up to the Torah, you have to have an introduction. What's the introduction? Good midos, act like a mensch, derech eretz kadmon Torah. That's what the three steps represent. Why three steps? So he said that famous mission of Pirkei Avos, Akina, Vataiva, Vakavod, Motzim es Adam min Olam. The jealousy and kavod and taiva desires. So that take a person out of the world. And the Shlach Kaddish mentions that these, even though there's all kinds of bad midos, these are the three, you know, the archetype. You know, these are the three main bad midos, and all other bad midos are all like a tolda of these three, so to speak, avos of bad midos. And the opposite of these three midos, bad midos, are the three good midos. Not to have tkina, not to have taiva, not to have kavod. Those are the three main good midos. And everything else, all the other good midos stem from that. So Mela, the three steps before the Torah, before you come up to the menorah, the Torah, represent, the person has, as we said, has to have midos, tovos, to act like a mensch, derech eretz kadmon Torah. That's the three steps before the menorah. And if one does that, then he can approach the Torah properly. It's one, it goes together. There's not Torah, Midah. You can't have the Torah without first being, have a good Midah. As we said, Anshei Kodesh, you want to be Kodesh, you have to be Anashim, you have to be Anish. Bezrat Hashem, we should zoche to take this lesson to heart and improve our Derech Eretz, which is Kadma LaTorah, and then we should be zoche to the Keser Torah and Bias Gol Tzedek, Mimhera V'Yameinu.